Episode 221 of the GT on 5G. It's the latest Insight Scoop on everything 5G. We cover six topics in about 20 minutes, and it's brought to you by More Insights and Strategy. I'm Will Townsend, and joining me again this week is fellow analyst Anshul Sag. Let's get started with my first topic, and I've got a couple related to AT&T. This first one is around an announcement between AT&T and Celona for neutral host. Celona is a private cellular networking company that I've followed since nearly its inception. And there's been a lot of dialogue back and forth, Anshul, on the viability of neutral host and the monetization. Last year, Celona announced a partnership with T-Mobile around neutral host. And so this announcement this week follows that with AT&T. From my perspective, when you look at, and it's not necessarily just venues. I mean, that's been really the focus for neutral host from my perspective. But it's really in buildings and in deployment scenarios where it's economically not viable to densify with Wi-Fi access points is when a neutral host solution can really be advantageous to boost indoor cellular performance. But getting back to venues, DAS solutions tend to be very expensive. And you've got greenfield, you've got brownfield considerations there. What I like about what Celona is doing is it can supplement DAS in very large sporting venues and concert venues and that sort of thing. But then at the same time, it can provide a very economically viable alternative when densifying with Wi-Fi access points just isn't feasible. With this announcement, Stanford Healthcare was also highlighted as a use case. So they're deploying private networking in a neutral host solution to deliver point of care. And in fact, the Celona management team is going to afford me the opportunity to speak with them. And I'm hoping to write a research note or an analyst insight on our website in the near future. But what do you think about all that?
I think Celona's definitely like the leader in this space. I didn't really know that they did a lot of neutral host stuff.
Fairly new. Like I said, T-Mobile was the first announcement last year.
Yeah, because I knew that they did a lot of like private 5G networks for stadiums, I think. They even helped build one out here in San Diego.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like it's really about providing like a secondary infrastructure that can coexist with other infrastructure. And in general, it seems like they're on a roll with anything that they do. And it also seems like they're very focused, which I think is part of their success. And I just think that Celona signing a pretty big deal with AT&T is a major step forward for them in this area.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And by the way, it's also supporting AT&T FirstNet as well. And just a final few points before we move to your first topic. What I like about their infrastructure, it's a complete end-to-end solution. So they provide core and radio and the software layer. They offer micro-segmentation, which is akin to network slicing as well. And what I also like about their radio infrastructure is that it supports both LTE and 5G. So there's a lot of flexibility there. There are a lot of use cases that leverage LTE. But then if a company starts with LTE and they want to move to 5G, it's a software upgrade. Provides a tremendous amount of flexibility. It is CBRS, right? So I need to state that. So it's not an end-all, be-all replacement. It's an augmentation, to your point, to supplement connectivity. And in areas like, think about in a hospital that's very dense with metal and metal equipment and that sort of thing, basements and that sort of thing. And it's a solution where customers can start small, see how they like it, and then they can broaden it. And the opportunity, again, I think beyond venues is immense when you look at use cases that span not only healthcare, but retail, light manufacturing, heavy manufacturing, logistics, and whatnot. So pretty compelling stuff. But like I mentioned, I'm hoping to get the chance to speak with Stanford Healthcare and be able to share those insights with our viewers and listeners at a future date. But with that, let's go to your first topic. You want to talk about HP Go's new connected PC 5G experience. And this was announced in Amplify, right? Just recently.
Yeah, so this was announced at HP Amplify 2 weeks ago now. And I didn't actually get an opportunity to talk about or even learn about much detail about it because you go online, I'm online right now, there's like a paragraph this big about it. And I actually got a briefing last week that kind of illuminated more about the program and how it works and all these things. And really what's interesting about HP Go is, first of all, it's a MNO solution. So they're actually integrating AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile as a single service that auto switches between carriers based on the location that you're at, whichever has the best service. On top of that, it already comes pre-integrated on a module at the manufacturing like level. So when you get the laptop, it's already connected. You basically do like a one button push as a user. And the IT department already gets an email when they ship the laptop so that IT can ingest it into their management console, whether that's an HP management console or a different one. And they can actually manage their devices before you even touch it. And they can ensure that the correct provisioning is done. And that when you do have issues, HP manages all of those connectivity problems. So IT doesn't have to deal with that or deal with the carriers. They're really simplifying the 5G connected PC experience.
Yeah.
And they're not really relying on one carrier to do that. On top of that, billing is pretty simple in the sense that it's $20 a month starting price for unlimited data in the US. And then as you want to up-level your management of the laptop, having deeper capabilities, being able to remote wipe, all of those kinds of more advanced management capabilities will be at a higher tier. And then also at higher price tiers is global roaming. So you can roam all over the world. So let's say you have an executive who you know is going to be traveling all around the world. You don't want them having to roam on different networks that you don't trust.
Yeah.
And using Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or anything like that, or even using a hotspot. So this is like a perfect solution for that. But also like all of your marketing and salespeople that are traveling around, like it's cheaper than paying for hotel Wi-Fi. And in my experience and in your experience, most likely it's faster too.
Yeah.
I think the ROI is there. It was just always difficult to get people on board. And really what HP Go is trying to do is reduce the onboarding process and make it simpler for IT, because we've gone through so many different phases of this. And every time it's, oh, we'll give it away for free. People love it, but they then it doesn't get deployed. Why? Because onboarding is just such a pain. And right now this is available for one PC. It's the HP EliteBook 6 G1Q, which is a Qualcomm-based solution. But HP tells me that they plan to go far beyond this. And they call it the world's first AI PC with zero-touch multi-carrier 5G deployment.
I think you hit the nail on the head. The challenge here with connected PCs, cellular connected PCs, has been the activation experience, right? And it really sounds like HP's done their homework and they really resolved that. I love the fact that it's activated out of the box. I love the fact that it's multi-carrier. And I love the fact that they've taken kind of the guesswork out of the whole experience. And our buddy Bob O'Donnell, he's been a big proponent of connected PCs. He's done surveys, and he and I have always discussed the biggest limiting factor has been this friction with the activation. And so it really sounds like HP did their homework. And so this is only available on one model, it sounds like, right?
Currently, yes. And I think that's them trying to dip their toes in and see how it gets absorbed and probably figure out some of the other kinks that might be in the program before they go broader. But HP's had a lot of 5G connected PCs in the past that weren't Qualcomm based. I think this is a matter of time. And also by being able to do one module, because if they've modularized this, by doing a module, potentially they could just ship this module on many different platforms and not have to customize it to each. And since they're the manufacturer of the laptop, they can build their PCB around this module and make it easy to integrate afterwards as well.
And that's critical from a supply chain perspective, because many years ago, this is how I got introduced to mobility, and it was in the 3G world. But I was with Dell at the time, and I was in worldwide procurement, and I was working on activating mobile broadband connectivity on the Dell Latitude notebooks. And one of the challenges was, do we burden the bill of material with this, at the time, a very expensive cellular modem, in the hopes of getting an activation? And there was a bounty that was paid from the operator to Dell. And I was managing the relationship with Telus and AT&T, ironically, at the time. And so it was always chicken and egg. It's, can we get the value for the increase in the cost, right? Because it wrecks the profitability if you can't. And so that modular approach, it really sounds solid. They figured out the whole user experience and the activation, and they figured out the supply chain. So pretty compelling stuff, man. Very cool. Hey, let's go to my second topic, and it's a gratuitous plug for a research that I recently posted to the More Insights and Strategy website. I had the opportunity to spend time with the Dallas Cowboys and understand what they are doing to provide secure connectivity, not only for their back office and front office operations, but for users that visit AT&T Stadium in Dallas. And it's pretty compelling. The one thing that Matt Messick and I talked about, and Matt is the CTO for the Cowboys, he also manages Jerry Jones' IT needs across multiple businesses. I learned quite a bit. Mr. Jones is quite an entrepreneur. He has many businesses beyond just being the owner and the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. But one of the things Matt and I talked about was the concern around security. And if you think about it, the Dallas Cowboys have a big star or target painted on them. They are the most valuable sport franchise in the world, worth, I think, nearly $11 billion. When you look at just their ticket sales and their merchandise and just their footprint and popularity. I used to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. I lived in the Dallas area, and I'm a little bit older than you. I can remember the Roger Staubach days. I can remember when the Cowboys would play the Steelers, when Terry Bradshaw was the quarterback for the Steelers. And so security is a huge issue. What was publicly announced most recently was that the Dallas Cowboys are employing AT&T's Dynamic Defense to secure the inline connection and circuit into AT&T Stadium. That also supports a lot of the connectivity needs for Mr. Jones' businesses as well. And I'm not going to go into a ton of detail because I want to encourage our viewers and listeners to go hit the More Insights and Strategy website and read the article. But I go into a lot of depth about the value, the fact that Dynamic Defense provides a layered approach. It complements other security controls and provisions, and it's all inline. It doesn't require any sort of incremental equipment to operate. And at a very high level, I will say one thing. What I really like about it is that it provides the ability to filter out and weed out a lot of the noise and the alerting and allow Matt and his team to really focus on what are the critical threat vectors and attacks that are coming in that could potentially thwart operations, create denial of service, or bring down the entire network during a Taylor Swift concert. Again, from my perspective, it's very innovative. The other piece of the article, I focus on Extenet. So they've been the Cowboys' partner since the inception of building that massive venue in Dallas or in Arlington. And in the article, I do talk to one of Extenet's executives about what they have done to improve the connectivity experience from a mobility perspective, from a fiber perspective. And again, I encourage our viewers and listeners to go read that article. I'm a Chiefs fan these days. My wife grew up in Kansas City. I follow the Cowboys, but I'm not a rabid fan like I used to be. But what do you think this whole notion about Dynamic Defense, the value it can provide? Because you and I have talked about this. Mobile networks are huge targets by threat actors because there are massive numbers of subscribers on these networks. The ability for a bad actor to attack a network, bring it down, and extort ransomware is quite high. This has occurred with AT&T, with T-Mobile, with Verizon, with Vodafone. What do you think? Do you think this is something that other MNOs should consider?
I think yes. I also think a lot of these venues end up becoming a single point of failure.
Yeah.
Let's say Cowboys Stadium probably has a couple lines of fiber going into it, but if you were to take out the right one, it might not actually have enough bandwidth to keep the venue running, let alone serve customers. So I think just being able to lean, because these are public venues now, and people are becoming more and more dependent on these venues to provide connectivity, let's say not even for entertainment purposes, just for safety. So I think it's one of those things where it will probably become mandated at some point that there be more security at these venues, simply because they become bigger points of attack for bad actors, whether that's someone with malicious software intent or malicious physical intent. And if you wanted to inflict harm, you would want to make sure that there's no way for people to communicate. So I think that there's inherently going to be a need for more security at these venues, because this is probably where one of the few places where you have so many people in such a small space. And this is a public safety nightmare if connectivity goes down.
You're echoing the exact point that the Exynet executive mentioned to me. He mentioned that the best level of security that you can provide in a large venue is connectivity, to your point, right? So that if you need to contact a first responder, heaven forbid, if something happens, a criminal activity, or you know, you have a health issue. And I know we're both busy and we don't get an opportunity to read each other's articles, but you're echoing kind of the punctuation that I highlighted with the Exynet executive.
I don't even get to read my own article.
I know, man. I don't get to do either, man. But hey, it's the life of an analyst, right? But hey, let's go to your second topic. And you want to talk about Disney and using T-Mobile 5G for a new Lilo and Stitch live action film production. And I'm just going to do another call out to my wife, Megan. She's a huge Lilo and Stitch fan. So I didn't catch
really?
Yeah, she really is. So I want to.
I can do a perfect Stitch.
Oh, do it real quick.
Stitch. My little Stitch.
That's scary.
Pretty good. Pretty good, right?
I'm going to get her to watch this video, man. I'm going to get her to watch it.
So I'm a big fan of Lilo and Stitch as well.
Yeah.
The original animated movie, which is why I can do a Stitch voice. But basically, this is from a partnership that T-Mobile actually started in 2022, which makes sense because live film productions usually take a couple years to shoot, edit, and publish. So this movie's coming out in a month on May 23rd. And this is, I think this is like a co-marketing deal, in my opinion, because they did this probably in 2023 or 2024. And they were doing live shoots in Hawaii because Lilo and Stitch is based in Hawaii. If you don't know about the story, Lilo and Stitch is about an alien who lands on Earth and a girl mistakes him for a dog and makes her his pet. But he's actually like a fugitive from a foreign alien empire. And he's actually very dangerous and could easily kill someone. But he takes on being her pet. But they use real people in this production. This really being shot in Hawaii. Disney is based out of Burbank. And that's where a lot of their production happens. And they are basically, as they're filming, they want to review the footage and ensure that the shots that need to be gotten are good and can be usable in the film. And part of that is sending those dailies back to the studio so they can be reviewed by the editors and get the movie moving. And part of that is they got to stream this stuff and move all these drives over to the U.S. across the Pacific. Sometimes those have to physically be flown. Other times they're using fiber lines. But the fastest way to get this done is actually to stream it in real time from the film set straight to Burbank. And that's what they're doing with T-Mobile 5G. They're also using T-Mobile 5G for scouting locations, which Disney had actually talked about a long time ago. When I was actually working with Disney, they were talking about at this USC conference that I was speaking at, how they were using drones to scout locations. And that's how they were doing some of the Marvel stuff, being able to figure out exactly which is the right shopping center for the shot they want to do and all these things, and having drones help them automate these processes. And now they're using 5G to also reduce the amount of infrastructure they need to have in place so that they can actually make sure that their setup and teardown times are much shorter, so they don't have all these cables running to be able to send that data back. So it's helping them improve production speed, get editors on editing faster, and make sure that production staff are able to review footage quickly. So it's improving the speed of production, cost, and time, and that's really important. But also, this is a very much a co-marketing deal, I think, where I have a feeling T-Mobile is going to talk a lot about Lilo and Stitch just to promote it and maybe even promote products and deals with it, but also be able to talk about how they're enabling the production to move faster. And it's a great proof point of how 5G can improve production and film and really save money and time. And I feel like this week, all my proof points are very like rubber hitting the road kind of things, but I'm happy to talk about those this week.
Yeah, no, that this is a fantastic example of a longstanding relationship between Disney and T-Mobile. I've had the pleasure and opportunity to serve as a judge for the 5G Unconventional Awards, the T-Mobile for Business, 5G Unconventional Awards. And we actually, I think it's been 2 years going, we've recognized Disney and Sony and T-Mobile for their work together. So this is a great proof point, and it's another great example of the power of 5G, the low latency, the high throughput in film production. And I also just want to mention before we move on to my third and final topic, if you don't know the story of Lilo and Stitch, what rock have you been living under?
People don't have kids.
Hey, true. Not to offend those out there that have never seen the movie, but it's amazing. I'm probably going to watch it again this weekend. Hey, I'm going to hit my third and final topic. I'm going to be really quick with this one. There's a decided security theme. I do cover cybersecurity for our viewers and listeners that don't know that. I'm not only a 5G infrastructure guy, an enterprise networking guy, but I also cover cybersecurity. And I found this announcement interesting, and it's T-Mobile. T-Mobile is partnering with Zscaler to improve their overall mobile network security. And like we mentioned, we're not going to pick on any MNOs. These are huge challenges that they have in securing massive infrastructure, a massive number of subscribers. But what I really, and I spent a lot of time with Zscaler as well, is that T-Mobile recognizes the power of what Zscaler can do from a zero trust access, a threat deception, and a digital experiencing monitoring perspective, to augment what T-Mobile does in providing mobile network services to its subscribers, both consumers and enterprises. And this is huge because all of the MNOs measure their success by subscriber churn. And they all want to be below 1%. On any given day, that vacillates back and forth here. But what I really like about it, T-Mobile has invested very heavily in security, but security is a layered approach. It's a team sport. And the more layers that you can introduce, it does tend to introduce complexity. But with Zscaler, what you have is you have, in my mind, one of just a handful of end-to-end platforms that support, again, access, whether it's broader internet access or private access, and also that digital experience monitoring piece as well, which is really important, Anshul, when you think about why do we use our phones? Like, we do use them for phone calls, but we're using all of those applications on the phones as well. And when they don't perform well, people get upset. So again, I just wanted to highlight this one. I thought it was a great partnership. I'm sure Zscaler is working with other MNOs as well, but I caught the news this week and wanted to share it. Do you have anything to add before we go to your third and final?
I do not really, other than I definitely think that T-Mobile could use improved mobile network security.
Yeah.
And I think all carriers can and should. And I think security should actually be probably at the top of their list of things that they offer consumers, especially considering all the data leaks that have happened from all carriers at this point. And I just think that these are a single point of failure for a lot of people. And there's a lot of trust on these networks.
Yeah.
I talk about 5G connectivity on PCs as a secure connection. I think it's really important that consumers can trust carriers to be secure,
yeah,
especially when you consider how much banking and private information is transmitted over those devices now. I would say most people do most of their most private things over their phones.
Yeah.
So I think that there needs to be a robust, private, secure connection.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I've probably spoken about this a million times, but one of 5G superpowers is improved encryption over LTE, but that's just simply not enough. Again, a layered approach to security, like what we've just been discussing with T-Mobile and Zscaler, is definitely the right approach. So with that, let's go to your third and final topic, and you want to talk about Hyundai, and they are building a massive smart factory in Georgia, and surprise, 5G and AI are playing a role.
Yeah, so this factory has actually been under development for quite some time. This new plant is officially open today, and it's now part of their Industry 4.0 world firsts. It's called the HMG Mega Plant America, so Hyundai Motor Group Mega Plant America. The full name is HMGMA, and basically, it's a factory that costs $7.5 billion to build, and it mostly does this for electric vehicles. So it's going to be for the Ioniq 5, which rolled off the line last year, and will also build the Ioniq 9, as well as some Genesis vehicles down the road. And it will produce 300,000 vehicles per year in the first year, Jeez. And then move up to 500,000 vehicles per year in the future. And it uses a lot of AI and some private 5G to do extremely high levels of automation, which is how you're able to produce 300,000 vehicles with only 1,200 workers.
Yeah.
So it's very similar, I would say, to almost like a fab in the sense
that... it's not quite a full fab, but it's like a semiconductor fab.
Yeah. And they say that it's North America's largest and most advanced smart factory, but I'm not sure if that necessarily... It probably takes up more space than a fab just because of the vehicles and all the parts. But also part of this is they have a joint venture with LG to create batteries for these vehicles. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, they're also building a steel mill in Louisiana for $5.8 billion that will enable the capacity to increase by 60% to 500,000 vehicles per year. Wow. So they're building in the US, which is why I get really frustrated when I hear about tariffs on cars. That's actually exempt now. People don't realize that, but autos and auto parts are exempt from the tariffs that dropped yesterday.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, because it would have been really stupid considering how much BMW, Mercedes, and Hyundai have invested in the U.S. Like,
exactly.
Probably it's over $100 billion, probably. I'm sorry, I've got a barking dog.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. But yeah, he's quite loud. But yeah, I think that in general, there's a really strong... I might have to grab him. There's a really strong focus here on AI and 5G. And there's a video I'll link to in the description where you can see there's drones, there's robots, there's AGVs, there's all kinds of automation occurring that you would expect to be at this level in this way. And it will enable scale and it will enable cost. And these will be competitive vehicles, both technologically and in terms of quality. It's just quite clear that they've made the investment and they're using the right technology, and that 5G is a big component of enabling this kind of automation and also investment in the US.
Yeah, I continue to be impressed with Hyundai. When they launched, they did heavy machinery like Mitsubishi for many years, got into the market, was considered a value kind of car. They've moved up through the ranks, and then they've really been just killing it in EVs. And from my perspective, they're a leader in that category, and making this investment not only in the US is super positive, but it echoes their technology and capabilities.
Yeah. And I'll give you a quick summary of the things that were mentioned in the video. Thanks to our friends at RCR Wireless. It has AI automation and control system for vehicle parts management, AI drone system for inventory management, AI vision system to verify component assemblies, digital command center for digitizing and integrating production data, AI vision system to precisely and automatically align metal sheets, smart press to control and speed for optimal metal forming, AI vision system for detect holes, cracks, and panels, AI vision system to guide precise positioning of automatic loading systems, unmanned transport vehicles to carry pallets, automated warehouses to efficiently store and manage pallets, robot main bulk system to integrate robots and vision technology, autonomous adjustment system to adjust vehicle door gaps, metal finish line flow AGV as collaborative workspace, automated overhead robot to grab and move heavy parts, automated electrocoating scarf sanding system to sand vehicle parts, and then 10 more automated things. So
in a partridge and a pear tree.
Yeah, it's just like the future of manufacturing is automation. It doesn't matter where you are. Yeah. And with these kinds of expensive, high-touch vehicles, you have to really have as much automation as you can because labor is expensive and it introduces errors.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to end on this point, another gratuitous plug. Like, I got to spend time with John Deere in Waterloo, and I've probably mentioned this. I like to repeat myself, but they're using 5G to do exactly a lot of the things that Hyundai is doing as well. And I've spoken about one of the most compelling use cases for 5G is within manufacturing automation. It could be nearly 50% of the addressable market there. So this is a great example of that. And our friends, Sean Kinney and others at RCR Wireless, they always do a really great job of getting down to the nitty gritty and getting into the details. So a shout out to Sean and your team as well.
And
yeah.
I will just add, since you plugged John Deere, I want to give John Deere credit. I will not name the auto manufacturer. I have a feeling they've worked with all of them, but they actually have invited auto manufacturers to visit their 5G manufacturing facility to understand how it's being used.
Yeah.
And they're actually offering their knowledge and expertise to American auto manufacturers to help them modernize their facilities. So they're not being closed about these things. They're trying to be helpful and help American companies modernize their infrastructure, utilizing the ideas and capabilities that John Deere has developed.
Yeah, and John Deere is an American brand, and so they're invested in that. And I'm not surprised to hear that. That is a private deployment. I will mention John Deere has stood that up on their own. It's incredible the investment that Jason and his team has made in bringing that capability to bear for John Deere. But hey, it's been a great podcast, man. We've really gone deep. And I'm in Amarillo. I've been in Colorado this week. I'm headed back home, but why don't you take us home?
Absolutely. We hope our viewers and listeners found this week's topics interesting. And if anyone would like to reach out to us about a specific 5G topic for a future podcast, please reach out to us on social media. Will's at Whaletown Tech and I'm at Anshul Sag. We hope you have a great weekend and please tune in again next week. And don't forget to rate us and subscribe.